our every other week segment. It's called Career Builder. Mm-hmm. Career Builder. And when our honorable guest is already in the studio, he is...
Not sure about honorable.
Honorable. Your Majesty. Robert Parkinson, because you're from Britain. I have to call you...
Royal blood, though.
No. You have to get clean of that, right?
I heard that 50% of British people have royal blood in them some point.
Apparently Brad Pitt does.
Yeah.
So I saw on the TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Apparently.
Next time I'm going to shake his hand. I have already shook the hands of your queen, definitely.
Fantastic.
Twice, yes.
Fantastic.
She's so good. Anyway, forget about that.
That's so bourgeois.
Let me officially... Yeah, I'm bourgeois. I have to criticize myself a little bit. But officially, let me very seriously introduce our honorable guest here, Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. Robert, today actually, in our pre-discussion, we talked about today we're not going to focus on the Chinese people, but instead the expats, the foreigners, the expatriates who wanted to find a job here. And also it is in line with the central government or even local government's policy to attract more talents into this country.
Mm-hmm.
So let me assume, or just pretend,
yes,
I'm blank-minded about the Chinese job market, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to advise me? What am I going to do first?
Well, that's...
If I want to find a job here.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think what's interesting about the foreign the jobs market for foreigners in China, we've actually just done a survey. We do a survey every quarter. And what we found very strongly is that there's a tremendous demand for foreigners with experience in the service industries. And that's interesting, actually, because I spend half of my time in China, half of my time in the UK. And I think it's fair to say that in China, that the general service sentiment requires a lot of development and is probably one of the key areas for advancement. So I think, you know, if I was a foreigner looking for a job in the Chinese market and I had experience from the service industry and or service-minded person, then that would be a key thing. Other things
Can I just interrupt you?
Are
you complaining about Chinese service industry in an indirect way?
Not at all. I was always taught not to complain, just to suggest.
Or advise, right?
Exactly.
Can you give me give us or our listeners a good example? Sometimes, you know, I'm also baffled.
Yeah.
How bad quality the services could be.
Yeah.
And frustrations come because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think just to give you the preamble, I think it's a natural consequence of such a buoyant market. Companies haven't had to really attract customers because if customers have been there, it's the expression, a rising tide floats many boats. Is very true. Whereas if you look at where I come from in the UK, or if you look at, you know, the European Union, where there have been significant economic struggles, it's meant people have had to compete really hard. So one of your unique selling points is your service that you provide to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the issue. But of course, as China matures and as the government has said, well, it's going to open up previously restricted industries, so there's going to be more foreign investment in certain areas. I believe this was discussed in the recent central government committee session, and this is naturally going to lead to more competition.
Yes. I actually grew up in the partially in the planned economy era.
Right.
And that's before you guys came into this country.
Sure.
If I compare the service there, it was like, it's shocking to you, should be. Because all the restaurants, all the services, kindergartens, all the services are state-owned.
Yeah.
And then you went into, nobody greets you, mm-hmm. like a good morning or whatever. No, don't expect any.
Mm-mm-mm.
And if you don't, okay, they give you a long face and very rude manner.
Mm.
But you can just take it because otherwise you have no place to eat.
Ah,
yeah.
So that's the picture. And now it's much better, actually. But compared with a mature economy, like you said, we still have a long way to go. So just now you said for expats, right? Service is the sector.
Yes, the service industries, be it whatever the industry is, you know, whether it's
specifically
the legal services industry, whether it's the accounting services industry, or whether it's simply train. I mean, I have a lot of friends actually who are in the training business, training people how to talk to customers and how customers like to be talked to. The other point on that, of course, is that there are so many Chinese people who have either been brought up overseas or have been educated overseas. You know, the Western way of doing things is not new to them anymore, or indeed who've just travelled overseas.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing new. So naturally, they expect higher standards. Let me just say, though, as well, that one of the other interesting things the survey brought up was there's a demand for foreigners, in particularly in the scientific niche scientific areas, so things like biotechnology, things like healthcare, and this would make sense, you know, as you have a burgeoning middle class, you know, who can afford decent healthcare, this would open up an area for demand.
But for me, I think it's very unusual that you mention healthcare, because healthcare is like a doctorate, it's like a degree you can't really translate to a foreign country. Whereas, say, if you're in business, it's very easy to set up in China or something from America.
No, you're wrong.
Don't think so?
You're wrong. We desperately need high-end, I call it high-end service, because it's not no longer restaurant or cafe or cafeteria, mm-hmm. because we're already doing very well.
Sure.
Look at the San Liton, you know, cafeterias.
Absolutely.
Definitely, you are being so... Oh, so much well-treated, right?
Yeah.
So forget about the low end.
Yeah.
Baozipu, you know, make dumplings or whatever, no?
Sure.
Foreigners, experts are needed here
mm-hmm.
to fill in the gap, a huge gap in the medical care, Medicare,
yeah.
or education. But I have a question, maybe similar to Byron, yours.
Okay.
Medical degree is so expensive to get and so hard to get, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They put in a lot of money, and also people in the field, you know, are desperately needed elsewhere too.
Mm.
Why should China be attractive to them?
Well,
we need them. We want them to come.
Yeah.
But
right. The thing is that with hospitals in, I'm not necessarily saying Chinese hospitals, they may well be foreign-run hospitals, but that I happen to know that they pay substantially well. You know, it may well be that they're paying 20 to 30% above what a doctor may receive. If you look at the UK, your average GP will receive about £85,000, so £850,000 RMB. In China, that's going to be substantially more because there's an element of hardship allowance for them to, you know, because of the pollution and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also there's a demand for certain speciality cares, you know, experts in cancer or psychiatry, for example.
In every field, almost.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of... demand for this. So, you know, I know a number of doctors and, you know, they're all from overseas. Many actually, strangely enough, are Chinese originally, but they've, mm-hmm. they've trained overseas and come back to China.
We do have places to fill, definitely.
Yeah.
And we will be talking about what sort of attractions China is going to have to lure these people into the country. You're listening to Studio Plus. We will be back very soon.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people. Share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus. Something fresh.
Then add in your mushroom.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus.
Studio Plus.
All right, you're listening to Studio Plus. We are in the mid of our career builder segment, and it's a conversation between us and Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. Today, we are focusing our topics on how to attract expats into China. And I'll go back to what I said just now, Robert.
Mm.
I think definitely we need, right? A lot of developing countries, maybe, they need talents.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
We need to attract them. And the government is considering a lot of preferential policies, and mm-hmm. some are already in place.
Mm.
But shall I say that for all these years, we have been attracting people. Can I say that the top talents still don't want to come?
Mm.
Because they are so much needed in their own home country. They're close to their homes. Their salaries are satisfactory. Everything is like that. So there is a saying in the Chinese community which says that all the teaching English, you either they are, you know, secondary or
yeah.
they are in other fields. For example, maybe radio. I'm not being offensive to mm-hmm. Byron. Byron has no experience hosting a show.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we attracted Byron into this country, but we failed to attract those who are already very successful, hosting, you know, very important mm. TV programs or other radio sort of personalities into this country. So in order to improve the situation, you mm. know, Robert,
mm-hmm.
what can China be doing? Or we just face the reality?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, first of all, I'm surprised that Byron has no experience in that. That surprises me greatly. Strikes
He's
me
doing
a very,
very
experienced
well.
Guy.
Yes, indeed.
I think that you are right to a degree, and I think that the slight issue is where you've got Hong Kong and to a lesser degree, because of its geographical distance, Singapore,
mm-hmm.
with extremely preferential income tax rates. So that makes, you know, for the creme de la creme, as you intimate, you know, that does make it less attractive, I think, in China. The other point is, you know, of course, the government has introduced, trialing it in Beijing, the need for foreigners to pay welfare, social insurance, housing fund, pensions, you know, and I have to say, you know, there are people that say, well, am I going to be around in China?
Are you guys paying a lot of tax to the Chinese government?
I pay all of my taxes.
Are you paying both? Because you have to pay your own country, right?
I just filed yesterday.
Filed yesterday.
For US
so you
taxes.
Are actually double paying.
No, but like, you need to make
you
a certain
be
amount.
You can exempted. Oh, yeah.
You need to make a certain amount mm-hmm. if you're overseas, but yeah. it's still like not preferable.
Yeah. Luckily in the UK, actually, you don't...
No global tax.
There's no global tax.
That's
thank
great.
Goodness. I just pay tax on any property in the UK.
So it's highly reliant on the government. I heard one of my friend, actually, who earns really good income here, she's a mainlander.
Mm-hmm.
She decided
mm-hmm.
to move to Hong Kong. I said, why? Because she said, I can keep most of my income.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I think the government... Is the government listening to us, please?
No, but Hong Kong tax is known for being very low.
Yeah.
It's famous for it.
On the other hand, you know, Hong Kong real estate, you know, makes Beijing real estate look cheap.
Yes, it's
and,
insane.
And it's, you know, it's Hong Kong is a real estate city for
There's
billionaires.
There's always a trade-off.
Exactly. Mm. So there is that issue. But I think probably as is being done at the moment, if there was further clampdown on, let us say, you know, people paying... people and businesses paying tax fully, mm-hmm. then there may be scope to lower the overall level of income tax.
Yeah,
indeed. To make them more competitive.
Mm-hmm. You have been here for years, right?
10 years, yeah.
10 years. What is the top headache issue for you too?
Visas, taxes, or mm-hmm. something else?
Government stamps. Things that stands in the way of, you know, carrying out what you want to do here?
No, not really. I know it sounds strange, but I quite enjoy the whole the way things are here. You know, I go back to the UK, and there are irritating things about the UK as well. I just simply choose not to be irritated by them. You know, I think it's amusing in some senses that you have to, you know, fill in forms and get your passport chopped at the border. It would be nice to put it through a machine, but it is what it is. You know, it's all part of the fun. Mm-hmm. I suppose the only thing I would say is it would be nice if they clean the air up a bit.
Okay.
That would be my only issue.
And let's just go back to the pros and cons, the attractions and the annoying things for potential, you know, talents coming to China.
Yeah.
So what are the attractions?
Well, I think there are a huge number of attractions. You know, let's not forget that the Europeans are still in a terrific mess. Thank goodness that the Brits have managed to sort themselves out. But, you know, people from Austria, Germany, so all across the Eurozone are struggling still. And, you know, if their company comes along and says, do you fancy coming to China? We'll pay for, you know, return flights for your family. We'll put you up in a nice apartment in the middle of Beijing. We may even get you a driver. There's not many people that are going to say no to that.
Burgeoning economies promises more opportunities, definitely, right?
That's right.
Okay, this is one attraction. What about the smog? Is it attractive?
Clearly not. having just spent 2 weeks in the beautiful UK and with the spring weather, you really feel you don't want to come, right? But again, the way I see it is it's just part of the trade-off.
I think
I'm sure that they will clean it up eventually. Mm-hmm. I do know of some. You get, you know, trailing spouses with young. You can imagine it's fair enough with young children who've got developing lungs that, you know, mm-hmm. they might want to go back to a country when
even baby fetuses, you know.
ISB that has that has the bubble.
It's a very tough sort of question to solve for those who really want to settle down with their kids in China. But
you know what though? I mean, as my mother reminded me last week in back home in England, 40-50 years ago, this is exactly how London was. Mm-hmm. You know,
great smog.
Exactly, shrouded in smog.
So you have to calculate the losses and the gains.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And I think there are huge benefits. However, to give you some anecdotal evidence, I live in a place called Central Park, which is a sort of major international Chinese and Western hub. Apartment complex in Beijing, and it is true to say, and this is anecdotal of course, but it's true to say that there are less foreigners now than there were, say, 4 years ago. Quite a lot noticeably less.
Some have chosen to leave.
Yeah.
I know, smog thing, I have also confidence in, you know, the government finally, or the people, joint efforts will finally be solved. But let me go to very time-wise.
Sure.
Culture-wise, do you think people like you or Byron find it conflicting or difficult to adapt to? Because we are not only coming for money and opportunities and good living, comfortable living style or whatever. Sometimes there are people who care more about, you know, whether they are accepted or they love the culture or not, or they find it annoying or pleasing.
Let me say, from a business perspective, you know, I've been in business now for probably 18 years, and in the 10 years I've been in China, I've learnt far more about business than I did in the previous 8 years. I think Chinese people are fantastic business people. You know, business is always about relationships. And I think this emphasis on connecting and guanxi and getting on is really, really important. I think Chinese are excellent business people.
So for experts who are listening to us, who are considering to come to China, I think what I learned from Robert is that if you keep liberal-mindedness, the open, you know, heart,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you can embrace different cultures.
Yeah, absolutely.
And deal with different people, right?
Yeah. Okay. Can I just add to that? That mm-hmm. I think that the usual, many companies send people to China for 3 years. That is not enough. That's like going for a weekend away.
Longer.
You know, I've been here 10 years, and it feels like about 10 minutes. You know, and you really need to you know, dive deeply into the pool to experience it and to learn it, and preferably, of course, learn Chinese.
Yes, indeed. Language is very important.
That's right. Very interesting you mentioned that, because I know a lot of people, maybe, say, English teachers who don't really know that many local friends. I mean, how would you reconcile that? Like, how would you try to encourage them to try to, like, know more locals?
You know, what I find is that because of the education system here, when I hire people to work for my company, that people who tell me they can't speak English,